Welcome. This is Matthew Bronson, and this is Conversations with Matthew Bronson here on KUPR 99.9 on the FM dial from the high desert of Placitas, New Mexico. And back by popular demand, the mayor of the town of Bernalillo.
So, thanks, well, Matthew.
Well, you're quite welcome. It's my pleasure. We're kind of in the fall of 2016, if you're listening to this, in the spring of 2030. But you recently had a state of the town meeting. Mm-hmm. Is that annually?
We did it annually for several years, and when participation dropped off, we moved it to every other year.
Is this something part of your administration, or it had always been done?
It's new. We brought this to the table.
So what was your motivation?
There are multiple purposes or objectives, I guess. The first one is just to give constituents an opportunity to sit with myself and the town council and hear from us what we think has been happening, and then, as importantly, is allow them to ask us questions and get clarification and those sorts of things. So it's an opportunity to interact with them. It's a lot less formal than a council meeting, and there's not an agenda of items that we have to work through. So that's objective number one. And then the other objective is really for staff, and I think it's important to take time to reflect on what's happening inside each department and have people really think about not only what they've accomplished, because sometimes you get so busy working you don't stop to think about those things, but also reflect on goals and objectives for the upcoming year. So,
and the format was Jack Torres's format. You weren't following like the national State of the Union or
No. We sat down, staff and I sat down and try to decide the best approach. And so what we've done each time is myself and each of the council members takes a couple of topics, uses material that have been put together by staff, by the administration, and they present to constituents.
Well, then I guess the obvious question, even for an amateur interviewer like myself, is what is the state of the town?
Well,
and we are talking about the town of Bernalillo, New Mexico. And our conversation is with the mayor of the town of Bernalillo, in case anyone's wondering who that handsome guy is.
So the state of Bernalillo right now is extremely healthy from a number of perspectives. From a fiscal point of view, we're in really solid shape. We have enough money to pay our bills. We've got some savings in the bank. We're making all our payments to on our bonds and loans, those sorts of things. So we're healthy from that point of view, and we've also instituted budget controls, so we monitor our spending and we're making sure that department heads prioritize needs, and that's where our dollars go. So some of the things we've done real quickly are things like departments that require vehicles, for instance. We've put in place a system where we replace vehicles on a regular basis instead of waiting for them to almost fall apart, which had been done on some occasions in the past.
Do you have your own? I think we spoke about this before. You don't have your own motor pool. You kind of share the counties for oil changes and tire rotations?
No, actually, for maintenance, we go to private vendors.
Okay.
So we don't have our, we don't use the counties, and we don't have our own maintenance department for vehicles.
Can I get a town of Bernalillo discount card?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I don't have one, so I don't think you'll get one either. But so again, from a fiscal point of view, we're very comfortable. We're living well within our means, and we're careful about how we budget and spend. From a business development point of view, we feel really fortunate. This past year, we've issued over 40 new business licenses. The vast majority of those are brand new businesses, and interestingly enough, we ran into a handful of existing businesses who hadn't bothered to get their business license from us. So we went back and made sure we got those caught up and up
to
date.
They just didn't know?
I can't speak to why they hadn't done it. I want to be optimistic and say somebody just forgot or slipped through the cracks.
It's not crazy expensive, is it?
It's $25 a year.
Okay.
Set by the state. Yeah. And so again, it's certainly they weren't saving a whole lot of money not doing it. So I'm assuming it's just something that someone overlooked.
You don't necessarily, you know, you're going to make tortillas. You're going to have a gallery. You're going to have a pet grooming. You know about those things. You don't know. Someone's got to give me a license. Although if you're an American, you probably figure you got to pay a lot of people for stuff that doesn't make sense.
So again, we had somewhere around 40 new businesses this last year. A lot of a combination of businesses. Some were, you know, good sized businesses. Some were home based businesses, an individual working out of their home. But again, it's the type of things that work in a small community where we're not going to get the 100 or 500 employer business likely to come into town, nor are we looking for those. But these are small businesses. Some are 10 people, some are 5, some are 2, and some are 30, but they work for us. So
I know that we can't, we don't have the time to list all 40, and we don't want to single anyone out. But how about some of the top categories?
Sure. One of the things we're real excited about is the town has been heavy on retail, especially gas stations, convenience stores, fast food restaurants, and those are fine for us. You know, they serve the town, they serve people driving through, but we've seen real diversification. So we have our first assisted living facility that opened in Bernalillo. They opened up phase one, which was 15 beds. They have plans to open up a second and third unit to put them up to close to 45 beds. We just heard from them last week that they're expecting to start construction on those units early next year. We've seen some light industrial and service companies come to Bernalillo, and again, those are exciting things because typically they offer a higher pay and at least some sort of career opportunity for people, and that's good for us.
And forgive me for not knowing the workings of a small or large town, and I certainly have no idea how a national government works, but down in our little neck of the woods, is there a committee or a department or out of your office where you say 5 years, here's our demographic, age, income, education, we're going to need 20 more semi-retirement beds or, you know, assisted living. We have a very functioning health service, you know, El Pueblo, 40 years, go El Pueblo. thank you, Lalo, your father. But you know, and you know, we got gas stations. You got the grain store. Do you sit and go? These are the types of businesses that we want now, and here are the ones that we're kind of cultivating as we age. Because I assume the type of community that Bernalillo is, a lot of the population doesn't move away once they are of age, and then the ones who stay here forever or come back want to live out their life here.
Sure.
That's a big question.
Right, it is.
It goes long.
And actually, in the last year, we've really started to make a much more concerted effort. We've been fortunate in terms of some of the market forces and maybe some of our outreach. But in the last year, we reassigned some administrative folks, so we now have a director for economic development, which, as far as I know, is a first for the town. And part of what her task has been is to really put together data. We've hired a consultant who's putting together a local economic development act for us. And it does a lot of what you were just talking about. It really looks at what's here today, both in terms of the demographics of the community, services that are available. And it also looks out over different time periods, 10 years, 20 years, what are the things that we're going to need? And really helps us to focus how we exert our efforts or use our resources in terms of looking for those things. So, for the first time, we're really focused in terms of not just relying on market forces, which has pretty much driven economic development for Bernalillo in the past.
Sure. So projects such as the Roosevelt School remodeling, that has to have an impact on the resources available to the public.
Sure.
And so other projects like that on the long-term list?
The town has some resources that could be used for that, and right now we're just still in the fact-finding portion of that. So the council on Monday night had an update from our consultant. She brought us some real interesting numbers, which we'll be getting up on our website real soon. And again, it's too early for us to really say. Right. I think we're still just trying to get the data so we can make some informed decisions.
Well, I know from the high school down on 550, amazing addition. Mm-hmm. It's like a city. Great sports field with the stands and the lights and all that. Do you want something like that on a little smaller scale in Bernalillo? Or more of an amphitheater where people can perform?
You know, right now, certainly I think that's the amphitheater type thing is on our radar without a question. We have conversations, and it's too early to say whether they're going to result in anything, but a group that's real interested in moving forward and partnering with us in that. But again, a lot of what we're doing right now is still trying to gather enough data so that we're making informed decisions and a holistic approach, because we're not a wealthy community.
Right.
But there are certainly things that we can do and will continue to do. And I think the important thing is to get as much information as we can so we're making thoughtful decisions that are good decisions, not just for this year, but going down the road.
And some of those projects are championed by a group of citizens.
Absolutely.
Who also often can help with some of the funding.
Absolutely.
One thing, I'm not, you know, I'm over 50. I don't go out after the sun goes down. But, yeah, but when we do, I don't see as much opportunity for things for young adults. I guess you got the drinking age issue, but still the young professional, 21 to 30, mm-hmm. There's not that kind of stuff. And it's no problem going down to Albuquerque, but if there's so many talented people out here in various ways, that I would like to think that that's one of the things that you all talk about.
I absolutely think that one of the things that we have a huge gap is in what you're talking about, and especially in terms of whether it's an amphitheater or something similar to that, a venue where we could really capitalize on the amount of talent that we have in the region,
and
we're
like
just not doing that now.
Almost like a YMCA.
Yeah.
Is there space for it?
I think certainly there's space. Probably the bigger issue is getting the building, you know, getting the facility built, and then being able to handle operating costs. But I think that's certainly something that we'll consider.
And you're very in touch with the community. You grew up here. Is it something that you think the entire community would want, or would some people go, we don't need that?
Well, I think the challenge that we have is because our resources are limited, there's people that say, really, you need to focus on senior citizens. That's the fastest growing demographic. Then you have other folks that say, there's not enough for the young kids to do. So there's a lot of competing ideas, and I think that's where you come down to trying to pull as much information together.
It's not one or the other.
Well, but I think you have to prioritize right. In terms of where the resources go.
But you said the budget was balanced.
It is.
Well, if you're going to do it right, you got to go deep into debt. Haven't you been paying attention?
I guess not.
Some people I hear in the media moan about the state, and we've lost the gravel and the gas and the oil, and so we're, you know, doom, doom, doom. There's nothing we can do. What's the basis of your income? It's the sales tax or the – where's most of the money come from?
Our revenue for the
yes.
town? Well over 75% comes from gross receipts, or what people call sales tax. That's what keeps us in business as a
– And is it the same for food or candy or liquor?
Well, the state removed gross receipts from food and medicine several years ago. And when they did that, they put into place what they called a hold harmless agreement. So essentially what happens is a grocery store will report to the state what they've sold in groceries or meds for each month, and then the state ends up sending us the funds that we would have received under gross receipts. That's going to phase out over the next 15 years. It's already started to phase out, actually.
So it's slowly diminishing, chipping away at it?
Okay. Right.
And they're not going to renew that?
Well, never say never, but at the moment the intent is that that will change. And part of the issue for every community is, because every municipality in the state is depending on this to a different level.
Right.
But it's significant for every municipality, big or small. And so the question is, okay, how is that going to be balanced over time? Right now we're good for our lifetimes, but clearly there has to be a long-term solution that's that's not available yet.
So things like Cheetos, not the, I don't want letters from whoever makes them, but is that food? Is that a food tax?
It's considered food, yes.
Okay, because I thought some of the snacks things were not. Or maybe it's, I'm thinking of EBT or food stamps or whatever. There were certain things that you couldn't buy.
You can buy junk food with food stamps, or what they call SNAP now.
Right. But not liquor or
not liquor,
cigarettes.
Non-foods, cigarettes. So you can't buy paper towels. You can't buy a six-pack of beer with food stamps.
Paper
those sorts
towels.
Of things. Right, because you don't eat paper towels typically. I mean, you can, but it's not in a typical diet.
Because it depends how hungry you are.
Yeah.
So diapers?
Those are not eligible either with food stamps.
That's,
I don't make the laws, but that's what it is.
I dropped my jaw in amazement. All right, so the city's good.
City's good.
You've got plans.
We've got
plans. If people wanted to see the highlights of what's at the top of Jack Torres's list for Bernalillo, is there a place they could do that?
Actually,
just stop by Town Hall anytime.
Sure, that's right. And if I'm not here, we'll schedule an appointment to see you. But now that you mention that, that's a great idea for us to add our slides. We did a PowerPoint for the town hall, and we can get those up on the website, and I'll make myself a note or I'll forget.
Did you record it?
You know what? I don't know if you know this, but I was down with a really bad cold, and I didn't make it.
Really?
After we had put the whole thing together. Fortunately for me, the rest of the town council was there, and some of the, I think our police chief in particular, and public works director stepped up to fill the void.
You could have come in
quite
by Skype like they do on the Tonight Show.
It still would have been ugly,
okay.
So I didn't want to subject
or
people to
that. Pre-record. We got to use this technology. Speaking of technology, anything happening technologically in the city that our citizens will see and appreciate?
One of the good items or good pieces of news we have is we have replaced our IT director. He left to help with an ailing family member to back to Indiana, where he was from originally. So we found a new IT director about, actually we hired him Monday night. And he's already taken off, so we'll have a lot coming from him probably in the next few months. He's still getting his lay of the land, and so we're excited about that.
But that's one of the nice things about an organization that has been a little bit dormant for a while. There's so much opportunity.
Absolutely.
And it can make so much progress relatively quickly that everyone will be able to benefit from. Well, so that's good news. We're about halfway through.
Okay.
So I need to ask you two questions.
All right. Just two.
Well, this is during the break. When you're in Bernalillo, what radio station do you listen to?
It's KUPR, without doubt.
And what's your favorite show on KUPR?
Well, it's Matthew Bronson, of course.
Conversations.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you. The check will be in the mail. I probably shouldn't even kid about that because I have nothing to give you. All right, well, we're back. We're having a conversation with Mayor Jack Torres, mayor of the town of Bernalillo. Just a couple weeks ago gave a State of the Town speech, and everything is good. We're kind of on the tail end of 2016 Brewfest with wine.
Right.
So it's the first of the brew and wine, but the second of the brew after many years of wine.
Correct.
What's everybody thinking?
Well, we haven't finished our analysis. Our attendance was not what we had hoped for. We're waiting on final numbers to see how bad the bleeding was. We lost money on the deal, and so step one is for staff to get me a final the final numbers to know where we're at, and then it's a matter of sitting down. And I think we have several options. We can continue along the same lines. My opinion is it doesn't make sense to continue something that hasn't worked as well as we hoped. We could continue and change some things significantly. In some conversations with a number of people, because we've asked a lot of them, brewers, winemakers, and just regular old citizens that drink the stuff or don't. Right. And one of the things we hear from a lot of people is their sense that if we had more of a theme-centered event, perhaps the best green chili in New Mexico type of contest.
That's an original thought.
And pull in the brewers and wineries in addition to that, but really have a theme focus, maybe a cooking contest along it. You know, again, it could be green chili. It could be, I think Las Cruces has enchiladas, so we'll probably pass on that. But something along those lines is a possibility. And then the other option we certainly have is just to drop the event entirely. And again, there's certainly we have to look at the dollars that are involved. But the other part of it is looking at what is the benefit to the community as a whole. And that's
right.
Sometimes a little bit subjective, but we'll be reaching out to folks to get their input on it.
Well, we spoke both to yourself and to Maria Rinaldi, currently economic development person, I guess, after 2015. And you were doing a postmortem. So the things that you wanted to change and the things you wanted to eliminate, did all those things happen? So that the, we'll call failure, just it wasn't as big a success as you wanted for 2016. Did those other things from 2015 happen again, or it was a whole new set of problems?
Well, I think the biggest problem, just to be quite frank, is that weekend has become so competitive in terms of the events that are available for people to attend.
Right.
Interestingly enough, New Mexico True, which is from the, not Truth, but New Mexico True,
right,
from the Tourism Department, sponsored essentially a brew fest at
the Expo.
Fairgrounds, at the Expo. And we were not real thrilled because my understanding is their job is to support local communities. So I suppose from their perspective, they were supporting the little community of Albuquerque, and we didn't really matter. But
so
nonetheless,
you're the micro community,
right? Nonetheless, I mean, there's just a lot going on. So that's part of my thought process are there just too many options for people, and ours just isn't for whatever reason drawing enough of them.
Well, from this, you know, that time of year, even now, it's hard to find a Saturday or Sunday that there aren't way more things to do. And I don't know if that's a function of the time of year, so they can only have so many. But it did seem odd that the Expo beer thing was the same.
Right. And we have no control, obviously, if they decide they're doing that, or anybody else for that matter. We can't control it.
Can't you move it to... I mean, is everyone friendly enough to go, hey, state, we want to do it again next year. Let's not do it the same weekend. You tell us when you're doing it, because you're the state, and then we'll pick a different one.
Certainly that's an option for us.
And
again, I think we just have to look at all the different factors. And, you know, and the $64 question is, are people not coming because there's competing events on that weekend, or are there other issues keeping people from coming? Because obviously... you move it to another weekend, but if that wasn't the real issue, then you're in the same situation again.
How do you know? You've got to spend about $100,000 a consultant.
No, we're not going to do that.
No,
but I think that's where I think you look at what are the real benefits to the community.
And I can tell you, I went to almost every booth. I didn't have a sample at every booth.
Sure.
I actually got there about an hour and a half early and went around to each of them so I didn't disturb their business like I did last year. And it was day two, so they'd already had day one. things were not as busy as they had hoped, but everyone seemed happy.
Sure.
And the, you know, various people I was traveling with or knew that I ran into, everybody had a great time.
Right.
The stage was an addition this year. More food.
The stage has been there, but the increased number of food vendors was an improvement for sure.
And the whole handling of people flow and I didn't see any beer people going, well, why is there wine here? And why people going, what's all this beer doing here? Because they're almost coming close together as far as foodies. Mm-hmm. So I hope you figure out a way how to at least make it a budget item that you plan on losing money on.
And that, again, that could be what the direction we go in. And I think you're right, is that when we were out there, everybody we talked to really enjoyed it. And if we can find a way to make it work, it would be good because people did have a good time. The lines weren't enormous. You were able to get in and out of whether it was a food vendor or sampling, you know, in a reasonable amount of time. Both the police and fire department had very few issues to deal with. And in fact, the biggest one, oddly enough, was that the Rail Runner had no connection to the festival at all.
Right.
It would have happened no matter what. It was,
sure.
So from that point of view, definitely. And what we heard from the vendors was very positive, both the food guys as well as the alcohol people, mm-hmm. that they were real happy with it. So if we can find a way to make it work, we will. But again, it's making some value judgments on the cost and whether we can decrease costs and still make it effective or find another way to increase. I mean, one way or the other, we have to have a change, either in decreasing our expenses or increasing our revenue. And if we can't, then that tells us, I think, what direction we need to take.
A lot of questions remain unanswered at this point.
They do.
And surprise of surprise, as I was going around to the whole event, there was a clothing type booth with hats and boots, and I've been struggling for the last 2 years since we've been here for a sun hat.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want to go cowboy.
Gee whiz.
I don't like baseball, but this was the best one I had found.
Good.
At an amazing price.
True.
So I will, until I destroy it, I will always think of the Brew Wine Fest when I put that hat on. So thank you for having the event just for me.
You're quite welcome.
So, all right, well, we're running out of time. We'll see you before the end of the year for the year wrap-up.
I hope so.
What's the next big thing or small things coming up in the next 30 days in October, November?
Probably the big things coming up is we have a coat drive that's ongoing now. So if people have new or gently used coats, I think is a phrase people like to use these days, they can drop them off at Town Hall. We have a number of groups that help us with the coat drive. We get them to needy kids throughout the community. It's in its fifth year now, if I'm not mistaken, and it's done extremely well.
Great.
They're just kids that need the help, and people have been extremely generous, and like I said, we even have some groups who have made us their project, so to speak,
okay.
And we appreciate that. So
it's a very giving community.
You know, that's one of the big things. The first Saturday in December, and if I'm not mistaken, that's the 2nd of December, but it's the first Saturday we'll have our nighttime Christmas parade. It's the longest continuous running nighttime Christmas parade in the state.
Okay.
We're real proud of that.
Fun.
If anybody's interested in that, they can call Town Hall and get information. There's a small entry fee, and we use that for our Christmas fund to buy gifts for needy kids.
Excellent.
We have a Christmas fund as well, so people can donate toys or gifts or money, and we get referrals from some of the social service agencies, from our police department, from the schools, of families that are really struggling, and it's been a big event in Bernalillo since back when I was a kid, which was a long time ago. So that'll be coming up. So again, first Saturday in December is the parade. The Friday before that, we'll have a tree lighting outside Town Hall. Coat drive is going on. And of course, from the political side of things, we're happy we survived the special legislative session without damage. But we're cautiously optimistic that that'll happen in the regular session. The council will meet with our legislators in early November to let them know what our concerns are and just sort of give them our perspective. And we've been very fortunate that the area legislators show up for our breakfast every year. We've done it every year since I've been here. And it's an opportunity for us to visit with them and let them talk to us about what they're expecting. And
and that's private or it's?
It's certainly open to the public. Okay. It'll be on our on all our social medias when it's held. And again, it gives us an opportunity to meet with them in a very informal setting. We have a breakfast that we put together for them. They've been really good about attending, and it gives us a chance to interact with them before things really get crazy, because once they get to Santa Fe, it gets tough. And then they're good to us in terms of hearing us, but you always feel like you're on a 30-second timeline to when you're in with them during the
session.
It's
like speed dating.
Very much so.
So I've heard. So it looks like on TV. Well, fantastic. I appreciate you taking time out of your day. This is Conversations with Matthew Bronson. And what station are we on?
KUPR.
Fantastic. KUPR.org. Check it out. Thanks, everyone. We will see you next time.
Thank you, Matt.